We're going to get right into the ministry of the word at this time. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Amen. Colossians, chapter 3, if you want to stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. I'll talk to you this morning about not below, but above. Amen. It may seem as a strange title, but if you read the scriptures, I think you'll get it. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 and 1, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind or affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant, God, to speak the truth. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just make your word real and applicable to every part of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Not below, but above. And we today live in a society that wants to be above everything. And I'm not sure how above we are, but I know that God is above all things. He's powerful. He looks down and sees everything. And it's amazing that God knows every thought and intent of our heart. And you may be uncomfortable with somebody knowing you that well. But let me tell you something. Let's just get over it. He does know. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he does. He knows the thought and the intent of our heart. And today you may not feel like you've ascended to some higher level. Some people do, but maybe you may don't feel good about the present order of society, may not feel confident about the future of our country. But believe our hope has never been built upon what mankind could produce. Our hope is built on what God has done and what God does and is presently doing in the lives of those who believe. War and strife are the history of mankind. But I'm glad that something and someone greater has come along. Amen. One that brings life, hope, love, peace to a troubled soul. Amen. The writer of the book of 1 John, which was John, he said, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." We're serving a God who is above all. Amen. Above all things, above whatever you're going through today. At this church at Colossae, some of the Gentile members were apparently also promoting a form of mysticism that claimed Jesus was a higher being but not God. But Paul refutes these false doctrines by pointing to Christ. As in all of his epistles, Paul seems to write as though he had our own society in mind. Even today, the new cults claim to be Christian yet deny the deity of Christ. We talked about this in Sunday school. Amen. The deity of Christ. Jesus is not sort of God. He's not just somebody that's next to God. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Three in the Godhead. Trinity, Father, Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we believe fully in the deity of Christ. Amen. And Paul's patient correction of the Colossian believers should remind us that we need to keep the worship of Jesus central to in our churches. Praise God. I mean, we don't want to go to church and hear about the latest report. We don't want to go to church and hear about the latest gossip. If you came for that reason, pray through. But we come to hear about Jesus, and we come to put him first in our lives and hear the gospel of Christ, the power of God for salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's notice first of all today that we're not below but above. First of all, we are raised or risen with Christ. As it says here in the scripture, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Okay? We are raised with Christ in the sense that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. We've been raised from spiritual death and been given, and from spiritual death and from eternal separation from God to relationship with God. And we were raised with Christ from eternal fear, from eternal torment, and from the absence of all God is. My friend, you've been saved from death and hell, put it plainly. And I'm thankful for that today, because you see, in hell there will never be one word of encouragement, one person to say you're going to make it, God's got this, amen, because in hell is total and eternal separation from Him who is able to save. But I want to tell you the good news today. God has not left people alone. God is Jesus. As God has said, whosoever will may come and partake of the water of life freely. You don't have to be lost, you don't have to be dead, but you can be raised, risen with Christ. Amen. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And here it has the idea of being buried the old life of sinful pursuits to a new life of spiritual pursuits. We hear people today, they're in pursuit of anything and everything but God. But we as a church should be in pursuit of the things of God. In the book of Timothy, Paul writes to his son in the faith there, and he says, flee, run from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What do people want most? They want peace in their mind. When it comes down to it, people want peace in their mind about where they're going to spend forever. And they may not admit that, but that's really what they want. People want love. And our society's definition of love is not the biblical definition. But God has a love for people. He saved you because He loved you. Amen. And He saves people today because He loves people. And when God has every reason to not love people, because people are sinful, and without God, there is nothing there to love. But God is love, and God has poured out His Spirit upon us. The Bible says God has poured out His Spirit on us by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Amen. Poured out His love upon us by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Romans 5:5, if you're wondering. You and I, we are a born-again people raised with God. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. People of His own, special people. It's called peculiar in the old King James. I've met a few that were peculiar. But we are a people that have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Called out and called into. That'll preach right there. Brother Wes knows that. Called out of darkness, called into His marvelous light. Praise the Lord. So we are a people that are raised with Christ. And so since we're raised with Christ, let's move on to seek those things which are above. The thoughts should be occupied about things where Christ now dwells. That's the right hand of the Father. Where our final home is to be, where our greatest interests are. Praise the Lord. And so, seek those things which are above, things that have eternal value, like the souls of people who will all enter eternity, either heaven or hell, hopefully heaven. Amen. And so, we need to have an eternal value like God has. Amen. We need to pray, Lord, help us to look at people and view people the way You view them. You say, well, that's not much of a request. That's a huge request. If we can see people the way God sees them, that's a wonderful thing. And that's the way God wants us to see them. Amen. And you know, you met people and you made people meet people that you don't care where they go or what they do. You don't have nothing to do with them. But I want to tell you, Jesus died for them. God loves them. God cares for them. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a God that cares. Amen. So let's seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Things that have eternal value. And so we should seek to enter the presence of God on a regular basis when we come to church and also in our personal lives. Seek those things which are above, like seeing one who gave all so we could be saved. And so there are people who seek those things which are above. Remember the story of Corrie ten Boom? Most people have read about it or watched it on a movie or whatever. But Corrie ten Boom was in the Holocaust, and she endured the prison camps of the Germans back in that time when Hitler was over them. And just as they were going into this prison camp, she was able to sneak a little bottle of vitamins with her. You didn't sneak anything in those kind of camps, but by the grace of God, she did. And you know, she just handed those vitamins out to people who didn't have enough to eat. They never had enough to eat. And little by little, you know, that bottle of vitamins never ran out. That was God standing in there. Because she was a woman that sought those things which are above. And I know that's a physical need, but yet God ministered to those people. Because God is able to do things, and we should seek those things which are of God. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and confirm the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather healed. And so that's God's will, that people be touched and healed by the power of God, and not just physical healing, but people be healed emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. Amen. And so we don't want to go off on a rabbit trail here, but we all know people, regardless of where they're at, amen, don't look at your neighbor, that need mental healing. And so I've been there, amen. But it says, pursue peace with all men, with all people, in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so God means for us to be a people that are transformed by the power of God and seeking those things which are above and not to be so concerned about things below. Yes, we have to provide for families. That's the truth of Scripture. Amen. God doesn't promote laziness. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. That's pretty straight, isn't it? But also, we need to have Christ as Lord of everything that we do. Lord in our life. Praise God. And it says, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the Father's right hand. Amen. So Christ is seated at the right, that's powerful, at the Father's right hand. Amen. And Christ is seated. He sat down when Jesus ascended back into the Father, to the Father from earth. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And basically his sat down and him sitting down meant that the total plan of redemption was complete. It was finished, and God had provided a means by which anybody and everybody could be saved. And so he sat down saying, Father, I've done your will. I've completed the plan of redemption. I've shed my blood for your sacrifice, for the forgiveness of sins. I've done everything that needs to be done for mankind's salvation. And so he goes to the Father, and he says, sit down. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and there he is seated today as our high priest, the one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And so the high priest, Christ, can help us with our weaknesses. You say, well, I don't have any weaknesses. Well, you need to ask forgiveness for lying. Amen. Did I say that? Yes, I guess I did. But in the book of Hebrews, it tells us about that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you feel. He's been us, high priest, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The difference between us and him, he never sinned. And it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. I've had to go before God many times, say, God, I can't handle this. I need your grace and I need your help. I want to tell you something. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. He's not weak. He is strong. And the Bible tells us, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to tell you, we saw our servant God that understands where you are, what you're going through, whatever problem you may be facing. It's nothing new to him. He's walked thousands of people through the very same thing. And he's promised to be with you personally through whatever you have to face. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And God is not below, he's above. Ephesians 1:21 says that Christ was exalted far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's above, isn't it? Praise God. So we serve a God who's above everything that you're going through. That doesn't mean he's not compassionate about what you're going through. But he is able to walk with you and talk with you and help you far above all things. And he can help us when things down here are not easy. And Christ is the answer. Years ago, the late Bourbon Street evangelist Bob Harrington, anybody remember him? Sure, if you ever heard him, you remembered him. And his family decided he needed to see a psychiatrist one day. And so the doctor so-and-so, whatever his name was, he said, "What's your address?" And Bob said, "I've got a heavenly address and an earthly address. Which one do you want?" Said the doctor, frowned and said, "Give me the one down here." And so they talked for a little while, and after a while, the doctor frowned and said, "Mr. Harrington, I need what you have more than you need what I have." And there he gave his heart to Jesus right there. That's the kind of God we serve. That was a man that was seeking things above. Amen. And so he gave his heart to Jesus. Wonderful testimony of conversion. Praise the Lord. And so seek those things which are above. And to do that, we need to set our mind. And here in the scriptures, it tells us, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's hard to do sometimes. And we choose what we think and meditate on. As believers, we should set our mind on spiritual, good, and profitable things. Things that promote the gospel message. The Bible says, Psalms 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer." And so we need to let God be in charge of our mind. You know, every cult seeks mind control. But I want to tell you, we want God, the Holy Spirit, to be in control of our mind. Not on some false doctrine people put up with, but upon the truth of who Jesus is. Amen. And so to promote the gospel, must set your mind on things above. And the mind has to be renewed because of what sin, the sinful world that we live in. There's things in our world that will get your mind on anything but God. And the devil works hard to keep you thinking about stuff that's not worth anything. It won't help anything to read all the rag magazines or whatever they call them. Amen. If you're in Walmart, just look to the sky instead of on the shelf. Amen. But what we think of, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The mind has to be renewed because of what sinful world fills it with. And Paul tells the church at Rome, he says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. And it says here, "For you died," meaning that we died to the sinful life when we were born again. We should have, supposed to. And there's some things still I have to die to. And don't look at me so innocent. There are thoughts and things that come across us that we just have to say, "God, I don't need that in my life. Would you please deliver me from that?" But he's saying here, they died to their old sinful life, their pursuit of sin. And your life is hidden with God, with Christ in God. Amen. So you quit pursuing the things that bring people to spiritual death, and you quit feeding on death. This may be an odd illustration, but I want to bring it out anyway. In the Old Testament, there were birds that were forbidden for human consumption. And here we have, we have Chicken Express. And I've never heard of Buzzard Express, have you? You know where I'm going with this. Birds in the Old Testament were forbidden for the people of Israel to eat were crows, buzzards, eagles, falcons, owls, every bird that fed on dead animals. Amen. You have to pardon the terminology here, but one day I come into the church and a buzzard was sitting on the top of the church, right on the apex up there. It's not the correct spelling, but I prayed, "God, get that foul spirit out of here." And so, so many times we concentrate on feeding our spiritual man on things that are no good. and feeding our spiritual person on every avenue of communication that's available. There's good things on the internet, there's bad things, there's good things on television, there's bad things on there. But my friend, we need to focus and feed ourselves on the things that bring life, not on the things that bring death. And so we need to put some things out of our lives that cause death and set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth. Let's feed on things that are good and spiritually helpful to us. Amen. Last of all, believers are anticipating His appearing. Verse 4, for Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And Christ will appear at the rapture of the church, not the second coming, but the rapture of the church. There's a difference. Many times the rapture is distinguished from the second coming by using the phrase, the appearing, His appearing. Because you see, when Jesus comes at the rapture, He's not coming back to set His foot upon earth. He's coming back in the clouds of heaven to receive His church, to call the dead up to be with Him, to arise from the dead, resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One fellow told me his church was going to heaven before mine. I said, why? How's that? He said, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, wasn't this church anyway. We're ready. And so the appearing of Christ is mentioned several times in Scripture, usually refers to the rapture of the church and not the second coming. The second coming of Christ, Christ will set down His foot on the Mount of Olives, and there He will judge the nations and destroy the armies of the Antichrist. But at the rapture, it's just to bring His church home to Him. And it's His appearing. And it says right here in the Scripture, Christ, who's our life, appears, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Amen. And it says in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. So we're going to be appearing, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and made like Him. Praise the Lord. So it is appearing. In 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards are handed out. And so the dead in Christ will rise. Those believers living for God will be transformed immediately. Then we appear with Him in glory. And so therefore we put to death the members of our body that want to go for fornication, uncleanness, and passion, and evil desire, and covetousness, and idolatry. Because you don't want to go there. You want to be with Christ forever. You want to seek those things that are above. Because of the sinful things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We are not sons of disobedience anymore. We're children of obedience to God. That's what the believer truly is. You may disobey. God's Holy Spirit convicts you and you repent of it. And then you keep on living for God no matter what. Amen. If you fail or you fall short of the glory of God and you sin, you say, well, God can't forgive me because I thought a wrong thought or I did the wrong thing or I said the wrong thing. God can forgive you. And that's rising His Holy Spirit convicts your heart and makes you feel bad about it. And that's God's Holy Spirit saying, I want you to repent of that and say you're sorry. Amen. Amen. And so thank God for His Holy Spirit. So believers are anticipating His appearing. And then we will appear with Him in glory one day. I want to be part of that crew that appears with Him in glory. You say, well, I don't know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. Nobody knows but God. I don't know if, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have predicted the coming of the Lord 5 or 6 times since 1925. They don't know. Nor do I. But I just know that if He comes today, I want to be ready to meet Him today. Amen. Don't want to put it off and say, well, I'll get right with God later on. No. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. It's a time to get things right with God now. Amen. Not wait for a better day. I want to tell you, friend, it's an old saying, but I want to take the first train out of town. Amen. If Jesus is coming today, I want to leave today. Praise the Lord. Then will you appear with Him in glory. So we're a people that are not below, but people above. Amen. Not in the arrogant sense, but in the spiritual sense. God has called us to be above. And ready to meet Him no matter what. We are people that are raised, risen with Christ. Amen. And with Him today. Praise the Lord.